Blog Talk Radio.
I hope there are a few people out there. Probably not. I'm going to go ahead with this. It'll show as a second episode, but I got cut off and I had to do it this way. Of course, these things happen when I'm working from home and we don't have the Dennis around to help take care of this. I was needed to use Skype instead of Direct Connect, and I don't have the Skype username. So we're back on Direct Connect. I'm going to go ahead and finish this episode, and hopefully it will all work out. Back to Matthew chapter 13. And I will redo this a little bit on Friday in the Bible on Trial. And so it should make a little more sense. So truth is what the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God become when they eat the seed that the sower has planted. The words are the seed. So when you're thinking processes are working all of this out, like digestion, keep in mind that these symbols are given for a specific reason. And I'm going to read that specific reason again. We find that in Matthew chapter 13, 14, and 15. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. So in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. The understanding comes from the digesting of the words. So the seeds, which are the words, but the word is unified in truth. So all the words of truth bring about truth. The understanding comes from the amount of information that you have accumulated and understand, which is the truth. In Revelation 10, 1 through 5, but particularly verse 5, the 144,000 are described as having no lie in their mouth. They have the words that come out of their mouth are the words that are in their intellect. Those words create, or not really create, I don't like, those words bring about truth in understanding. Understand the truth, your actions are in 100% unity with the truth. So that your actions are not sinful. Your actions are righteous when the truth is in your intellect, and you are doing things in accordance with the truth, your actions are righteous. If lies are in your intellect, your actions righteous. Not necessarily wicked, but they're not righteous. Which is why God wants every one of us human beings. What he wants every one of the people of his creation to do is to learn the truth. They must learn the truth so that their actions are in perfect harmony with the truth. And when they're in perfect harmony with the truth, they are righteous. End point here is righteousness. That's when we reach that point after the completing the sanctification process, we are righteous. When we are righteous, we are in the kingdom. There's not a place we need to go to be in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. So here, let's continue reading what God told Isaiah, what Isaiah wrote down. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. See and see again, but not perceive. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse, itchy field, or the hard road in the parable here, or the thorns, the parable here of the sower. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes for fear that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart / intellect, and be converted and healed by me. Converted would mean bring you into the fullness of truth. Bring you into the fullness of salvation, into the fullness of righteousness, which brings you into the kingdom of God. He goes on to say to his disciples, but happy are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. I tell you solemnly, many prophets and holy men longed to see what you see and never saw it, to hear what you hear and never heard it. That's a very interesting statement to think of. The prophets of old did not come to the understanding because they didn't have the tools, if you will, to piece things together. They did understand a lot and understood a lot more than even the priests and the scribes of their day. But the fullness of truth is like the full harvest. The fullness of truth comes at harvest time, when the produce, if you will, that when the fruit is ready to harvest. Here he explains in Matthew 13, starting with verse 18, you therefore are to hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, the evil one comes and carries off what was sown in his heart. This is the man who received the seed on the edge of the path. So let's take a quick look at this. This, the anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. So this is the teaching that will bring you into the kingdom. But this bringing into the kingdom is not a journey that one must get into some vehicle or one must hike to. This is a journey of progression of learning the words of truth, putting them together until you arrive at the whole truth. No lie in your mouth. So anyone who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding, the evil one comes and carries off what was sown in his heart. And you might say, well, then he'll have nothing in his heart. No. Because what I have said is, that the what is in the heart are lies. That's what we've been taught from the beginning. What we've been taught from the beginning are lies. He came and brought the truth, the Son of God did. He gave it to his disciples. What was in their intellect was lies. Not 100% lies, but enough lies that it had them in the dark. He was giving them the truth. He was showing them the way to the kingdom because they were not in the kingdom. Some, like Matthew and John, and hopefully many of the others of the 12, listened to his words, and his words were drawing them into the kingdom. The one who received it on patches of rock is the man who hears the word and welcomes it at once with joy, but he has no root in him. He does not last. Let some trial come or some persecution on account of the word, and he falls away at once. The one who received the seed in thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of this world and the lure of riches choke the word. And so he produces nothing. Production is another very important part of this process to the kingdom. And the one who received the seed in rich soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He is the one who yields a harvest and produces now a hundredfold, now 60, now 30. A good example of this is the parable of the talents, where one received 5 talents and he produced 10. He produced 5 more, so he had 10. One received 2, he produced 2 more, which is 100-fold. But that's 100-fold of what you have. The one who received 1 didn't produce anything. And producing is the important thing. The seed that is being choked by thorns is not producing any fruit. I hope I'm still on air. I'm going to go ahead and continue anyway, and we'll see what happens because I have about 9 minutes left. So here is the the culmination of this parable. People hear the teaching of God through the messengers, the teachers that he chooses, and he gives them the word, which is the truth. It is one. It is many words, but it is one teaching, which is the truth. And he tasks these students, these disciples of his, to learn the truth. Some have understanding of truth because they have worked longer on this. They've put in the effort and they've done that. Some have done what they can with what they have, but others have, but they haven't used it. It's hidden in their intellect. They're not sharing it. So there's no of fruit through the truth that they have. We determine the condition of our intellect and how it responds to the seed that the sower has planted there. It goes into our ears or into our eyes, through our ears, through our eyes, to the intellect. Is it a strange teaching? Is it one that conflicts with what you already believe? It will be. Because the truth is conflicts with the lies that we have been taught to believe. What we are to do, what we are responsible for, is to study with an unbiased mind, taking a look at everything that is said and weigh it against the gold standard, which is the testimony of the Son of God as written down by his two eyewitness disciples, Matthew and John. Mark appears to be valid also, but Mark was not an eyewitness. He was not an ear witness to the teaching of the Son of God. I just want to make that clear. Luke was none of those. Luke was not a disciple. Luke was not an associate of any of the eyewitnesses. And in his quote-unquote gospel, he says that this is an account by eyewitnesses, but he doesn't name any of these eyewitnesses. And without specific names, who do we know? People can claim to be an eyewitness and not be. And obviously, Luke's account is very different than Matthew's and John. Now, there are similarities, but there are actual contradictions in Luke. So I do not accept Luke as a valid, truthful writer, and therefore I don't consider anything that he has said to be truthful. But see, that is a decision that you must make. It's a decision that I made, and I'm sharing with you why I made that decision. But it's up to you. And that's what I'm talking about, is each person must decide for themselves whether they're going to accept the truth or whether they're going to argue for preferential reasons. I don't need Luke for my salvation. I don't need Luke because he's not an eyewitness. I don't need Luke because he contradicts Matthew in many places, and even Mark in many places. So I don't need Luke. Now, there are some feel-good sayings in Luke. I mean, the prodigal son, which is the only parable that you will only find it in Luke. And the persistent widow and the the person who died, the rich person who died, and he sees Father Abraham sitting there with all the prophets and so on, and he says, well, let me go back and warn everybody else about what's going to happen after you die if you don't do the right things. The truth is the only thing that will free you and me from slavery to sin. The only one who can free you from sin ultimately is you. You are the only one. You decide and determine whether you are freed from sin, because you decide whether to believe the truth and accept it and learn it and get rid of the lies to the point where you have no lie in your mouth. That is what it boils down to. You have the choice. Unbiased study of the truth until you have the whole truth. I don't know if this has gone through, but I will find out soon. We'll talk to you next Friday, the Bible on Trust.